Thanks for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we celebrate our 80th show. We appreciate the love and support and everyone out there listening and sharing our shows. Today, we will reminisce and highlight some of our past shows that we really enjoyed. And we want you to go back and listen and make sure you subscribe to our shows, Vicky Doe Fitness, on iTunes as well. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicky Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks Bright.
Hi, Vicky. How are you?
I am fine. And we have a guest today.
Yes, we do.
We have the one and only Andrea Doe.
Hello.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm fine.
You excited to be here?
Yes, definitely.
Andrea is, of course, she's my youngest, right? Yes. And she is doing her internship with me for a few weeks this summer so she can see all the things what her mother does at work.
Yes. I just finished my first year at Case Western.
Yay!
So this is what I plan to do. Well, during the summer, and that was Shadow You. So I'm pretty excited.
Well, that's good. Great. So she's learning a lot, but I always say and have said to her, you've been shadowing me from birth,
long time.
My sister.
Basically.
time.
But yeah, it's a good thing. And remember, Dee, she shadowed you as well.
Yes, she did. She is one of my little mentees.
Yeah. So
we're so proud of you.
Yes, we are.
Finished your first year at Case Western, and not an easy school.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Not an easy school. You can attest to that, right? A lot of burning of the midnight oil.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're proud of you.
That's great.
Yes. And so today we're also excited because it's our 80th show.
Yay.
Yeah. This is a celebration. We've been in the trenches.
That's hard to imagine. 80 programs.
Can you imagine that? I know.
Yeah.
I know. So we are excited. And that just shows that we have been in the trenches doing all the things that we love to do.
Right.
And we are, guess what, folks? We got plenty more to come.
Yep, we do.
Yes, we do.
A lot more guests and a lot more topics.
Yes. And so definitely look forward to that. June is our great month because June 12th will actually be our anniversary. It'll be our third year anniversary that we launched this interactive website in which our podcast show is posted on. But we want you to also remember that you can go to iTunes and subscribe. Look under Vicky with an I, V-I-C-K-I, Vicky Doe Fitness podcast, and subscribe there. But yeah, we launched our interactive website, www.vickidoefitness.com. That was 3 years ago. So our anniversary will be June 12th.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine that?
That's amazing.
Time goes, doesn't
it? Does.
But we want to give a shout out to all of you guys. We appreciate all of you guys for listening.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And sharing. Thank yes, you. Thank you, thank you. And it is definitely because of your support that we are successful and the word is getting out about our shows. And they're good shows,
they
D,
are
right?
Good shows.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And when you go back
it's
and
great
listen.
Reminiscing. It really is.
Yes.
You know, just reminiscing at some of the shows that we've had in the last 3 years and some of the great guests that we've had.
that. And it's one thing when you go back and you listen to the old, to the older podcast, you know, and you just realize how much information was disseminated on those shows.
I know.
It's hard for us when we're sitting here and
trying to figure out what's next,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I think the audience has gotten a lot of information from us from these podcasts.
Yes, and so today we're going to just do a little reminiscing, and we're going to highlight some of our past shows that we really enjoyed, and we want you to go and listen to them if you haven't, or listen to them again and share with your families and friends. So I can't wait to get started.
Me too.
But I do want to remind you folks that this year we will be participating again in the African American Male Wellness Walk event 2017.
Yay.
And it's going to be held here in Youngstown, Ohio on Saturday, August the 12th at the Covelli Center downtown. And we will, Dee and I, we will always have our little entourage, right?
Yes.
We're going to be taping our show live once again. So we can't wait for that. But this is just, you know, Youngstown is just only one of the cities that they do the African American Wellness Walk event. Remember, Dee?
I saw you had Columbus. Well, we met the young man from Columbus.
Yes, that
started it.
Yeah,
right?
Gregory. Yes, John Gregory.
Yeah.
They have Columbus, Cleveland, Toledo. Might be Baltimore. It's getting big. Each year they add on more events. It's good. And one of these days we're going to try to at least go to two or three of them so we can be a part of those folks over there.
Maybe for sure Cleveland and Columbus.
Yes.
Relatively close.
So yeah, since they're close. But yeah, they do that every year. And so we are glad to be a part of it. The director here in our area is the Reverend Lou Macklin.
Yes.
And last year, remember last year we got an award for
That's right, we sure did.
It's a health champions prize. It was very nice surprise.
Nice plaque and everything.
Yeah, so we just love being involved with that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a good cause.
It is.
Because, you know, this male wellness walk, it promotes health awareness for our African American men.
Remember we talked to so many people who had diseases diagnosed or, you know,
at the event, right?
Mm-hmm. Where they were silent, and unless somebody had been looking for it, they wouldn't have found that this person had whatever it is that they
So diabetes
and high blood pressure. Yeah.
Then they also do the PSA.
Right.
Which is looking for the prostate cancer
risk.
So, they do a lot of things. And then we can't forget the 5K.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's one of the main things.
That's the main thing.
And it seems like last year more people were involved.
Oh, yeah.
And more people ran.
So I can't wait to this. And we've been lucky that
The weather has been good. I was just thinking about that. You know, we've been really lucky that the weather for the last 2 years, 3 years, because I went the very first year they had it before they had it at Covelli. The weather's always been very nice, but let's keep our fingers crossed for this year.
Let's keep our fingers crossed because, you know, it's starting out a lot of rain now, but we will see. But we want to encourage everyone to put this on your calendar. August the 12th, the African American Wellness Walk event, and make sure you can bring your families, because even though we're showcasing, you know, about African American male and their health and wellness, we want families involved as well. And a lot of families, they have stuff for the kids and everything.
Right.
So make sure you put this on your calendar. And when you see us there, make sure you stop by our booth and talk with us.
It's good to see the families too, because I don't want to be sexist, but sometimes, I mean, it's the same way with women too.
Mm-hmm.
The spouse or significant other might be the person that prods that person to go seek out health care or to be checked out. So I think the family, and then to teach children about health and wellness from a very early age.
We talk
about the childhood obesity epidemic in this country and so forth. So it's all good to bring the family out and let them enjoy this activity.
I think so too. It's all good. And we also want you to put on your calendar, we are planning right now our first annual Vicky Doe Fitness Health and Wellness 2-day event, Healthy Heart, Healthy Living.
That should be fun.
Oh, yes. And we're planning this for October the 6th and 7th, which is a Friday and Saturday. It's going to be held at the Avalon Inn and Resort in Warren, Ohio. Yes. And we are featuring our celebrity, Dr. Coop.
Dr. Coop.
Yes, Dr. Coop, Dr. William A. Cooper. He's a cardiovascular surgeon, a speaker, author of his book, Heart Attack. He's a celebrity, Doc, because he's well known. He's been right. on Steve Harvey's show yes. quite a few times.
Yes. And we had him before he was on Steve Harvey.
Yes, we did. Right. He's been on our podcast show. Right. We will claim that, right?
We will claim that. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but he is going to be a guest speaker there, and he will be signing his book, Heart Attack, for us at the event. And so we're going to have a lot of activities, breakout sessions. So we want you to, if you want to learn more about this program and purchase your tickets early, we want you to go on the website and purchase your tickets early, because it will be limited seating only. You know, we can't have the whole Youngstown up in the Avalon
Unfortunately.
But it's not a stadium event. So you definitely want to go and sign up. Get your tickets early so that you can have a seat. So go to our website, www.vickidofitness.com/events. And you can find out more about the events that's happening. You can find out about this event, and then you can go on Eventbrite and purchase your ticket. And as always, like we say, Dee.
Thank you for supporting us.
Yes, thank you.
Over these years.
Yes, we love it. Even when we weren't on our podcast show, but for all the stuff that we do in the community and our programs, folks, when we go out there, it's so great to see people come up and go, yeah, remember me.
Right, exactly.
You know, so yeah, right. We're still in the trenches.
Yep, we are.
Yes, we are. Dee, what do you think? It's raining.
You know, I looked at the forecast, and it's just going to continue to rain here for the next couple of weeks. I mean, we're going to have some spurts of sunshine, but it's definitely going to be raining, and I don't know what this is about. Well, I guess it's good for flowers. I mean, you know, you look across the country, because California, such a long time, had a drought.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in that situation, so I can't imagine, you know, you couldn't wash your cars and stuff. But this gets old, because I'm trying to work on my tan.
Well, I'm trying to work on Bikini Ready, and
too.
I got to be indoor trying to work on it.
You know, you want to get outside and exercise
and get
stuff.
Your vitamin D.
Yeah, but it's hard. You know, it may stay. And then, like today, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, it is chilly.
So
it's in the 60s.
It's not rainy, but it's chilly. Started out in the 50s this morning, because I got up to go swim. It was 53.
Oh, yeah.
That's too close to 40.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. But we're not complaining. At least it didn't go down to 30 for some snow.
It could have frost, because all these people have planted their gardens.
Oh, I know, because we've been doing planting out in the Doe residence.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and then I was going to bring out, because, you know, I like to bring out my patio stuff, but I said, well, you know, kind of wait a little bit. We might have to do later in June.
Yeah, it's
because, you know, I ain't trying to rush out there and get the pillows and this and that because it's raining.
Yeah, you won't be able to go out there and enjoy it.
I know.
Right.
I know. So we will see. But I also noticed, you know, I'm getting, Andrea and I, we are affected mostly from this environmental pollen and stuff like that. But also I've been noticing ragweed doesn't fly around and do all that until August.
Right.
What do you think, Andrea? You've been sniffing and snuffing and all that from the ragweed?
Well, surprisingly, not yet. Definitely as time goes on, it's gonna get worse.
And I'm usually not susceptible, but I find myself sneezing a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what it has to be. But I've talked to people in other areas. It's not just here. I think it's other areas of the country. For some reason, the pollen counts up.
Yes, big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. And I was, you know, because I started feeling funny. I'm like, well, why
Then I saw the ragweed rug. I said, that's supposed to be in August. It's June. Yes.
Global warming.
Hey, global warming. You're right. Global warming. And global warming is not, let me get it clear now for folk. It's not just you hot as hell. That's not that's not global warming, the whole effects of it.
That's true.
The whole effects of global warming is the climate is topsy-turvy. So, you know, some places that are usually hot, all of a sudden they getting snow.
Right.
You know.
Global warming.
Some with us, we saw that in February. We were cold one day and then 80 degrees.
We had a 77 degree day in the middle of February.
Mm-hmm. So those are the type of things that we have to take in consideration when we're talking about climate change.
And things that look strange, that are things happening that look from a strange. Weather standpoint.
Yes, and I think we should definitely really pause and think about that and understand that changing, you know, making sure that we control and do what we need to do to protect our climate is pretty much important.
Well, to that end, the United States just pulled out of the Paris Accord.
So I know.
That's going to be interesting to see how that falls out.
And that
how out the impact that we could have had. And with other countries, I mean, you know, it's just, it's interesting to see who's left. I mean, who's pulled out, you know, as well. But, you know, to see if some of the other countries can band together and see what they can do.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. That's major.
That is major.
That's major.
That is major because I think it's only three of us that pulled out.
Nicaragua was that one.
And then Syria.
Syria, yeah.
But they, I think they were already out.
They were already out, right. Right.
We just joined their club.
We just
That's what we did.
Right.
Right.
So
we'll see.
I mean,
we'll
that
see.
Was timely to bring that up since you mentioned that global warming thing and the, you know, climate change and stuff. So
we'll see.
It's just stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
That's right. It. Stay tuned. So how was your week?
Well, I have been working hard in the gym, my swimming and so forth. And last week I did back-to-back. Well, I did the 5-mile the week before. And last week I did a 5K in Cleveland.
Okay.
It was raining
buckets. I saw that.
Oh, but I ran with my nephew, who is a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yes.
And some other really close friends. And we ran it for the benefit of the Gathering Place. And the Gathering Place is a place in Cleveland that provides huge resources for individuals who are affected by cancer.
That's what I thought. I know someone that does
And they raise... lots of money. I think the target was $410,000, and I think they raised, $397,000.
Oh, wow.
And there were, over 1,000 people at Beechwood Place, and we had a team, and the teams raised money.
Oh, that's
nice.
And
it was a fun time, and we all ran, and nobody complained about the weather. You know, you just dug your heels in, ran your 3.2 miles. Of course, me being the competitive person that I am, I ran to win. However, alas, I was shockingly nice. Now, talking about age, I was 8th out of 35.
Oh, okay.
And my time was not the fastest, but the top three women who were in my age group ran a 5K in under 27 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Which is unbelievable.
That's really good.
And so they were not there last year. So we're trying to figure out, were they spies that were put in there? Because I won a third place last year. Were these spies that were put there to dethrone me? So my conspiracy theory is that where these women come from?
Oh, that's funny.
That's very fun. I want to see their birth certificate.
Yeah, that's it. Where are they from?
Where are they from? But it was fun. It was really for a good cause. I enjoy running for races like that. Well, almost all the races that I do are charitable.
They're for good causes, right?
Charitable,
And then that's keeping your fitness on.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all
round
good.
And round, right?
It's all good.
It is all good. So, Andrea, you were talking a little bit about your week, you know. You just got out of case for your summer break. So what else you been doing this week? I know you've been shadowing me, but you're doing a lot of reading, right?
Oh, reading? Yeah, it's more for leisure.
Is this fun reading? Tell us about a book that you're reading. What book are you reading? That's
well, the last book I read was The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, which is basically Uncle Screwtape, I guess, who's a protagonist. Writes letters to his nephew about, well, his nephew's name is Wormwood, but it's about tempting humans to turn to the devil.
Hmm. Wow.
It's a Christian apologetic book.
So. C.S. Lewis, what book?
Narnia.
Right. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's
Narnia. There you go, right.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
Chronicles of Narnia. Right. And you can tell with his movies and his books that it had that Christian tone to it. Yeah.
There's themes of that in all his work, basically. Mm-hmm. And funny thing that I found out, he was actually friends with J.R.R. Tolkien.
Who did the Hobbit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was my era. That came out when I was a freshman in college. So it's going back way, the 60s.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how now they've made those into mega million movies now.
Academy Award winning movies.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Right. Although I think I'm probably the only person in the world that hasn't seen one of them. Not any of the Hobbits. I know what a Hobbit looks like. My kids tell me my feet look like Hobbit feet. But I've not seen any of the, there were six of them, right?
The thing is, I've only seen one and a half. Mm-hmm. So okay. I think there are six, but I'm not exactly sure.
But they
sure.
won an Academy Award, the last
big time,
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good for J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, I can't watch all those because I'm sleep.
It's hard for me. They're right.
They're very long.
You know, and I it's funny because I when my kids were home, I said, you know, you guys, let's have a Lord of the Ring marathon. And they're like, why, Mom? You're just going to be asleep as soon as it comes on the screen. But I wish they played those back because I'm sure you see on Facebook, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so they seem like Harry Potter comes on every
week.
All and I'm
the
watching
time.
Them all yes. the time. I keep watching them over. I wish they would do Lord of the Ring like that. I might be able to
they
get
do,
into
they
it.
They do.
They used to.
Yeah. Do they?
Periodically.
Do they? Yeah, they used to. I don't know if they do it as much now.
Yeah. No, they used to.
I would like to go back and look at those. But also read the books, because I read every Harry Potter book. Oh. So I'd like to go back and read those books as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's okay. Fine. Well, you've been busy then, right?
Basically.
That's good. So what is going on this week?
Everything. Oh, my goodness. Everything.
I know. This is the month of June.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Men's Health Awareness Month to spread the word and awareness of the health issues that men face. And so that's why we made sure that you understand and know that we have the African-American Male Wellness Walk coming up in the future in August. But yes, this is June. And according to one of the health experts that was advocating for this month, men's health, his name is Dr. Kevin Billups. He said there is a crisis in America right now in men's health, and it affects every community. That crisis revolves around managing chronic medical diseases like diabetes, obesity, hypertension, heart disease, and high cholesterol. These common problems are causing men to die prematurely in the prime of their life. And so that's why we want to admonish everybody to, especially our men out there, but also our African-American men, who stats have shown, right, Dee, that these health issues, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, heart disease, all of these chronic diseases affect our African-American men in what?
Disproportionately.
And just, I mean, it's an epidemic, like he said,
it's
right?
A huge epidemic. Mm-hmm.
Especially that diabetes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You know, listening to some of the old shows that we've done, you know, diabetes seems to be a constant theme that we've talked about. And again, you know, like I say, in my practice every day, it just seems almost like half of the patients are diabetic.
I know.
And a lot of it is we're partially at fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say we're digging our graves with our teeth.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with what
lifestyle.
We do. Our lifestyle. Here's what we need to really think about when we think about men's health. And that is that prostate cancer is the most common cancer among men, excluding skin cancer. And then African-American men are at the greatest risk to develop prostate cancer. And so the American Cancer Society recommends men with an average
risk of prostate cancer should begin the discussion about screening at age 50, while the men with higher risk of prostate cancer should begin earlier. Dee, you know, we had a show this past year with Dr. Raymond Wynn, mm-hmm. remember?
Right.
And he was discussing the whole prostate cancer.
Right.
But we were talking about how our African men, a lot of them, and probably men in general, but men, you know, they worry about, because with prostate cancer, they worry about getting diagnosed and right. doing the whole mm-hmm. Treatment right. because of the effect of their sexual, you know, right. Right. function.
And that's major in terms of concerns,
you know, because many men sometimes define themselves by their sexuality. Not that they should, but it's
right,
a big
but that's
thing.
What they do. Yes,
and
some
it's the
do.
Same thing with not just, we see it not just with prostate cancer. We see it hopefully, I mean, we don't see it as much now because the drugs are better. It was the same way with hypertension in the early days.
Yes.
When those drugs caused erectile dysfunction. And Dr. Wynn was just saying again, mm-hmm. and I think it's really good to just emphasize, and I think hopefully, I'd like to say we're getting a little bit better, that men need to go get checked.
Get checked.
You know, we That's have a it. Lot of, we, and now I think we have a lot more African-American male physicians, like Dr. Modlin, whom I hope we'll be able to get on the show one day.
Yes.
And we have Dr. Wynn, who are spreading the word out there. Reverend Macklin, who has the events like he does, to just mm-hmm. continue to bombard our African-American men and all men.
Yes.
You need to be checked.
You need to be checked.
It's a silent, it's a silent yes. kind of thing. You yes. wouldn't know unless you got checked.
You have to get checked.
You got to get checked.
You have
so,
to get checked.
He was really good.
Oh, yes.
I miss him.
I know.
I miss him.
And so, yes, sexual health is a major overall health marker for men. So 1 in 4 men will experience some form of sexual health concern by age 65. Erectile dysfunction and lower testosterone are linked to larger health risks, including heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. And so we want to definitely encourage all of our men, and most especially our African-American men, to be proactive. Go to your doctor, get a physical exam, and start today eating healthy, exercising regularly, and eliminating all the stress in your life.
Right. And for the partners of our men, and significant others of our men, to encourage your partner, spouse, to go to the doctor and get themselves checked. Because sometimes the other person has to be the one to nudge the other person.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
So,
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
So the whole family be proactive.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, D, you know, the Cavs play their first home game.
Gosh, I can't take the pressure.
I know.
I just can't. Oh, my goodness. Now, last year this time,
mm-hmm.
they got up to the third game and they lost. Mm-hmm. And everybody had just kind of, you know, hung the crepe. But the fat lady hadn't sung.
That's it.
And they rallied back. But I don't know. KD is a monster.
Oh, yes, indeedy. You know, I'm from down south. I talk about, when I looked at him,
goodness.
I was like, shoot, that's big granddaddy.
Like a
spider
mantis.
Going down.
But I guess I'm just being a hater. How come he didn't do this for his team that he came from? I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
How come he didn't do this with them? I'm sure they're looking at him going, well, where were you?
Yeah.
well, where were you? But yeah, I mean, you got to give it to him. It's hard to be a hater because
I know.
He's so good.
He's good.
And, you know, the Cavs won last year. I'm really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see him win again. But. You know, poor LeBron, he's playing, you know.
He's a one-man show.
He comes up with his A game. And
every time.
Everybody else is coming up with their B and C and sometimes A game.
Sometimes F. No.
Sometimes
most
no
time.
Game. Sometimes no game. You cannot win a basketball game by yourself when you're up against Steph Curry and KD.
I know. And
not going to happen.
Then they got all the other ones.
Klay Thompson.
And then I always call him the Iggly, Iggly, Gommly, Iggly, Iggly. I love him.
Me too.
Doesn't he be doing
it's
it?
Hard, it's hard. I mean, but you know, it's hard to be a hater. So, you know, they need to come out tonight. Everybody needs to come with their A game, step it up, and at least win one. Don't just let them roll over
oh,
you.
Oh, boy, it's bad.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
come
bad.
Come on now.
You know, to the point where I'll go watch it a little bit. And
I
then
have to turn it off.
I let it run because everybody in our house, Nate, everybody, we like to go and check and see how much damage being done.
It's rough. You know, I'm just, and then I'm Facebooking back and forth with friends, you know, and we're putting all these bitmojis on there about, I just can't, you know, what is he doing,
So we'll see, but hey, you never know.
No, you never know. It could be that they just let them wear themselves out the first two games, and now they're bringing it back to Cleveland for number, we hope.
Well, I did get another spin. Somebody was telling me, one of the young guys that I was talking to yesterday, they said, no, this is just a spin. You know, they want to have the home game. They want to have folks packed in there, ticket sales rising, to get them pumped up.
I hope so. As they say, from his lips to God's ears.
So we'll see. This is what's been buzzing on Facebook, all the internets and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's about the rapper Kendrick Lamar. He's getting flack because he bought his sister for her graduation, her high school graduation. I think he did the sensible thing.
I do too.
Bought his sister a Toyota Camry. And they getting all upset saying that, what's up with that? He should have gotten her a BMW, Mercedes, all these expensive stuff. Right. And I'm like, no, this guy is sensible.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Andrea? You are part of that young club.
Millennial.
Yeah. I mean, I think it made sense. And I think it is good to show young people to be frugal, know how to spend your money. And he's a pretty sensible person when it comes to that, a sensible rapper, which you don't really hear that statement
that's kind of like an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly. Contradiction. So I think that's good. And also it wouldn't be safe, I don't think, to buy her some super expensive car for her first car.
She couldn't have been driving that long.
No, she's high school graduate. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a great gift, I think.
It's a great car. It's a great car. You know, it lasts forever.
Ever.
And it kind of breaks down the idea also that rich people or rich rappers need to or should or do ball out, if you know what I mean. What I'm saying. It's almost the idea with like losing weight. Like, oh, you're so skinny, you're losing weight. You could eat that cake now and then, or you could eat that.
And but it all like, adds up, right?
It all adds up. And it's like, you can't be rich or, you know, if you're balling out all the time, because then you won't have money.
That's true.
That's true. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's your perspective on it. Yeah. I agree, though. What you think, D?
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I think it was a sensible gift. And I mean, why should he fall into the stereotype of the rapper with all the money and buying all this stuff? And you know what eventually happens to a lot of these guys in the end?
The prime example is
who was the guy that had the big pants back in the 90s?
MC Hammer. Yeah,
he had a racing horses, and he'll come and tell his own story about how, you know, money was spent out and balling.
That's because he was paying everybody.
He had a lot of hangers on.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of hangers on. And what happens with a lot of these guys is that they end up, and my young son is going into the music business to a certain small extent, but you end up having a lot of hangers on and they're just hanging on. And then it's kind of like the old song that Harold Melvin and the Blue Note put out back in the 70s. Where are all my friends? Now when your money's gone and this, that, and the other is gone,
they out of there.
You look around and they're gone and you're broke.
That's it.
So I applaud him for being a good steward of money and teaching his sister that just because I have a lot of money, you know, who was it that said, was it Bill Cosby or somebody? I know he's not a real popular person right now, but one of the persons, I think it was Bill Cosby, somebody was teaching his kids, this is my money.
This is
not your money.
That's it.
And you might want to consider going out and making your own money.
That's it.
So
you got to teach folks to do that and start young.
You do.
Start young. And she was appreciative. I'm sure if we gave my daughters a brand new car and it runs and it gets
you from here to there.
They're going to be appreciative.
Safely. Yes. Right. Get you from here to there safely. And that's all it. You want.
I would be happy.
Yeah. All right. So kudos.
You hear that, Dr. Doe?
Yes.
Just saying.
So kudos to Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar, right.
Well, you know, our prayers go out. This seemed like every week we are hearing something.
Every other day. It was Paris yesterday.
I know. We're hearing something.
So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world. The election of a possibly new prime minister is coming up, I think, tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a new person who's the prime minister in president of France, and then something jumped off in Iran today.
Mm-hmm.
So these are dangerous times. It's Ramadan. You know,
it is Ramadan.
Ramadan,
yes,
the holy month for Islam. So a lot of things are jumping off. And Manchester was last week, and then this past week.
Now it's the London Bridge.
People walking across London Bridge, and a van comes by with three people in it and, you know,
rams them down.
Kills people. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, you know, were killed and so forth.
Yeah, then they go into a popular restaurant and start
stabbing people. It's just, you know how much we both like to travel.
I know.
It's a little bit unsettling.
It is unsettling.
A little bit unsettling. But I guess what amazes me is how do they have, you know, in most of these situations, they're able to either capture or identify who these people are within a matter of hours.
That's because they've been watching them.
And I guess it begs the question, which they are discussing now, because the guys in London, they had been on documentaries and movies talking about, you know, doing harm. And so it begs the question, where is the line drawn between freedom of speech and if somebody's doing hate-filled speeches and stuff like that, when do you put them under more surveillance so that something like this might not happen? Because all three of those guys, I think that's the third one they just identified, but that one, he was a huge person out there, you know,
and trying to recruit kids and stuff.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, everybody's going to have to sit back and re-examine the line between just casual ops or some kind of observation and maybe going and doing something else. Because these people look like they're serious.
Oh, they're serious.
If they say they're going to do something,
they're going to do it, right? They're going to try.
They might do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. But at least 8 people were killed and another 48 people were wounded.
Yeah. And that's just it. You hear they put on television the people that are killed, but you don't hear about the stories of people who were maimed and stuff for years.
I know, from these events.
And you just don't know what kind of injuries
or
they
these
have
attacks
that are going to affect them for now the rest of their life.
I know.
So it's our prayers go out to everybody.
Yes, our
and they did. I did see part of the concert with Ariana Grande. Did you see that?
Yeah, the tribute.
Pharrell showed up and Justin Bieber.
It was good.
It was very good. Yeah, they made a lot of money. I mean, they hadn't planned to, but
they raised the money to help the families.
Yeah, exactly.
So so at least something good came out of it.
Exactly.
Yes. Speaking of healthcare, we saw this today. Oh. The latest is that Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield will quit the state. The state-based health insurance exchange. What do you think about that, Dee? What do you
think?
Well,
you know, I saw this morning, and we hadn't even talked about us talking about that
today. I know.
But essentially, they're pulling out of Obamacare.
That's it.
They're pulling out of the Ohio Affordable Care Act. And I say Obamacare because he called it Obamacare. Leaving, and now the reports say anywhere from 18 to 20 counties in the state of Ohio without an insurance option. And so it's reducing its 2018 individual plan offering to just one off exchange medical plan
in Pike County.
So, you know, they have not mentioned the count. I mean, I'm sure somebody knows. I haven't been able to find them.
Yes.
But I guess my notion is that these are probably going to be some of the poorer counties.
Yeah, because they did say
in
rural.
The state of Ohio. I think some of these rural counties where, first of all, they don't have a lot of doctors anyway. We know that.
Right.
Access to health care is difficult. But, you know, what's the reasoning? Planning and pricing. according to the, you know, the head honchos there, the planning and pricing Affordable Care Act compliant plans has become increasingly difficult due to the shrinking individual market and continual changes in federal operations rules and guidance, according to Anthem. So in essence, I mean, they're saying, well, we don't know what the government is going to do about cutbacks and reimbursement and stuff.
And all
so,
that. So, they're pulling out.
So we're going to jump ship first. And it's just sad because, you know, by being personally in healthcare and Dr. Nathaniel Doe is in healthcare, we see the impact of just these kinds of things that we're talking about with no, you know, with pulling out and now people don't have some care, maybe not the best care, but now all these healthcare disparities are going to become even bigger. And, you know, it's not just the African-American population that has healthcare disparities. All ethnicities have healthcare disparities to some extent.
And remember, it's geographically where you're located as well.
Exactly. You know, those people in rural Ohio have just as much problems with diabetes and hypertension and so forth as, you know, other people. It really sort of transcends ethnicities. They're poor people.
Poor people.
And, you know, from an economical standpoint, and they're the ones that are going to be the hardest hit by this. And, I, you know, and again, is made for economic reasons.
Yes.
You don't see anything in here about, well, these patients, even though they're going to, nothing. It's just all about, you know, we might not essentially, it's not predictable, that we don't know what the federal government's going to do. So
we're pulling out.
We probably need to bail out first.
Yeah, we're pulling out. But see, here's the part that people don't also think about as well. You know, some of these insurance coverage, especially for the Obamacare and all that, it was helping out with some of the drug epidemic and things when they get in
the hospital. Epidemic.
From the overdose and all that stuff, and helping with treatment and rehabilitation and all that. So now that's going to be affected as well.
And I think, you know, speaking of the drug epidemic, I forget which city. Well, it's every place, but there was yesterday on the news, a huge group of doctors got together and were talking about how many, I think it was someplace in Ohio, I want to say Akron, but I don't want to misspeak. I mean, they were like in this hospital, like 14 people on ventilators.
Yeah, 14 to 15 people.
Right.
On ventilators.
On ventilators who had, well, am I right? That were,
because Nate was talking about it. Yes.
I think it was Akron, I want to say. But that's just sad. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's a paradigm shift when you see the little children are running next door to knock on the door because they can't wake up their parents.
I know.
Or they're finding the dead parents with the children in the house
running on the street. Remember?
It's
they were like 4 and 5 just running.
It's defining a whole new culture of something. I don't know what it is, but it's something like we've never seen.
I know.
I've never seen it.
I know.
And so I did see, and I haven't read the article. I've got to go back. Didn't somebody sue some of the drug makers?
Yes, our,
Ohio, Kasich?
DeWine?
Oh, the Attorney General, Mike DeWine.
Mike
is
DeWine.
Is suing some of the companies that make these drugs.
The pharmaceutical, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the impact that it's done for Ohio.
And Ohio has been hugely impacted.
Yes.
Hugely impacted. I mean, where you see every day there's a story of a little child going next door, 5 years old and 6 years old, knocking on the door because the parents, you can't wake up the parents. It's just, it's a culture that I don't quite understand yet. We're having to increasingly understand it. And then, you know, the reports of when in hospitals, the huge number of babies that are born addicted.
I know.
That have to go through withdrawal when they're born. So,
yes, something.
You know, something's going to have to be done. And there are not enough resources out there when you see cutbacks and so forth.
They're going to be affected big time.
It's going to be affected. And so with that, you, again, snowball effect, more crime.
Yes.
Because you're going to want to rob and steal and snatch somebody's purse and stuff to get money for your drugs.
That's it.
I saw something horrific on television this morning where this guy, a woman was driving in the parking lot of a mall area, and he just jumps up on the roof and smashes the glass with his feet.
Oh.
I mean, she managed to drive off, but it's just random, just the random violence.
Can you imagine?
They caught, somehow there was a camera or something, and he jumped up and crashed her windshield with his feet.
That's scary.
It's very scary.
That is scary. Well, what's the latest on the Zika virus?
One quick thing. Puerto Rico has declared that Zika's out of there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's good news. Zika is gone. Yeah, but they broke Puerto Rico.
Though, right?
Well, I know. Then weren't we talking about that?
Yeah.
About Puerto Rico.
And, yes.
Yeah. Well, they got rid of the Zika's gone.
Okay.
Mr. Zika virus is gone.
Mr. Zika's gone.
Yeah, gone.
But yeah, I wanted to get your perspective on when I saw this coming up. This was today out there too about the epidemic of HIV and hepatitis C in Russia.
You know, I saw that this morning and there was a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down that said it's possible that 1% of the Russian population could be affected by HIV/AIDS. It's the fastest rising epidemic in that country right now. And it appears that it's being pushed on, moved on by the drug epidemic.
Okay. Okay.
And now, you know, these statistics, let me just give a tiny bit of history.
Okay.
We do know when the wall went down, and this has been discussed at numerous meetings and so forth, when the wall went down in 89, 90, we did start to see an influx in some of the formerly Eastern countries of HIV/AIDS because of drugs and because of a lot of things. And, you know, the former communists said, well, you know, this is what happens when you don't have people controlled and so forth. So, like, you know, Ukraine and a lot of these other countries, we've started to see that rise over the years. So to see where it is now, I'm not surprised because we've known about this for a number of years. The problem is, whereas in countries like ours and other countries that, you know, look at what's happening in Russia now. I mean, look at all this stuff with Putin and so forth. And I don't hear much talk about resources for healthcare, and it seems like they got another focus.
I know.
So it's very sad, and I don't know. Oh, and I do remember reading some of it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some areas where patients weren't getting any treatment at all. They were coming in to the doctor's offices, and they weren't getting any treatment at all.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. In fact, they did this little anecdote story about a woman who had been a former drug addict, was standing outside of a pharmacy in one of the cities in Russia. And this man comes out. He's very gaunt, gray eyes and so forth. And he's HIV positive and his wife is negative. They have a child. And, you know, he was just, you know, he's not on any medication. And that's not an unusual story. Sad.
Yeah. That is sad.
So the influx really started to come after the wall went down in 89, and we've just seen a continued steady flux. And again, unless the government gets involved, you know, it's virtually impossible to try to curtail it because,
yes,
you know, what are you going to do?
I know. So that's something. Wow. I just thought that was just
interesting
to see that.
Right.
Interesting to see that.
Right.
Well, today is the taping of our 80th podcast episode.
Yay.
And we're excited. So we decided that we will just do a little reminiscing and highlight some of our past shows that we really enjoyed and talk about some of the key points that we discuss in those shows. And we want you to make sure that you go back and listen and share with your friends and family as well. And so, Dee, our first show I want us to reminisce on. Remember, we were excited to talk about the Blue Zone.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, living forever.
Yep, absolutely. Dan Buettner, who was a National Geographic fellow, wrote this book, on the Blue Zone. And the Blue Zone, are areas where people live longer. And I'm trying to remember because I'm trying to remember exactly what you said on the show. These are areas where people live longer.
They live
longevity.
Longevity.
And just to refresh everybody's memory about where they were, Sardinia, Italy, Icaria, Greece, Okinawa, Japan, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California.
Loma Linda.
And so we, on that show, we kind of went through the diet of these. And just to kind of recap, for example, in Sardinia, in Italy, more of a Mediterranean diet with grains and fruits and vegetables and goat's milk and cheese and olive oils and a glass or two of wine, red wine. Okinawa, They like plant-based diets of soy, tofu, mm-hmm. miso, and the practice of eating something from the land and the sea. Mm-hmm. They're very, very active. And they've been doing this since World War II. Mm-hmm. Nicoya, Costa Rica, one of their highlights is that they eat, but they don't overindulge. They eat light. And what they do eat is simple and locally produced. And they also drink a lot of water.
That's it.
And their diet is basically rice and beans, cheese, squash, corn, fruit, and eggs. Icaria, Greece, mm-hmm. again, more Mediterranean grains, beans, and olive oil, goat's milk, and so forth. And what they don't eat that is common in other parts of Greece is lamb.
Isn't that something?
So they don't eat lamb.
Because it's red meat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Loma Linda, I'm yes. very familiar with Loma Linda because yes. some very good friends of mine mm-hmm. live out in very close to Loma Linda. In fact, I have had a couple of friends to practice medicine there, and that's a big Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes.
And Loma Linda, mm-hmm. The diet, Adventist inhabitants who enjoy a long life in this community consume a biblical diet and eat lots of nuts, whole grains, fruit, vegetables, and they drink plenty of water. And some are what they call pesco vegetarians, meaning they eat fish. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. They abstain from alcohol. And these long-living people also eat only sparingly and exercise regularly.
And see, now what do we hear in that? Exercise regularly, that's the thing. Right. And then also when we were talking more and looking more into the book, I like how they were saying that one of the key points that they ate as a family, it was a yes. wonderful gathering, the right. social aspect of it.
Right.
The whole being together with family.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're going to listen to a few, just a snippet of that show as well. Well, today we are looking at and discussing how to live the good life and a life of happiness and good health. And we know how we can live forever, at least until we are 100, according to what we say, folks that are living 100 years or more, they're living in these different regions of the world, the blue zones, and are said to have certain lifestyle habits that contribute to their longevity. And we are going to look, we're going to look at these habits and see if we can tweak our little lifestyle right. so we can be, you know, shoot, I want to be, now here's my thing. I don't mind living to 100, but I don't want to be living to 100 and I'm stuck in a wheelchair or right. in a nursing home.
I want to be a healthy 100 like these people.
That's it. So yeah. that's what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Exactly.
We're talking about having that
a good quality of life.
That's it. Yeah. Quality of life. Yeah. And so the bestseller, Dan Buettner, has written a book that gives us tips on what these folks eat. You know, how they exercise, what they do. And I saw somewhere he said they had a lot of sex, too. On Nan.
You
that was
what?
In one
I
of
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, and
it
I was like,
sense.
I don't know. Maybe they do
what
that
I
when
say?
You
just
80,
because,
90, huh?
You know, I always say just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there is no fire in the furnace.
All right.
So
now,
right on.
Because they doing it.
You know,
I was right
like,
on. Okay.
I'm not mad at them.
Yep, so that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is called The Blue Zone Solution, Eating and Living Like the World's Healthiest People. And so an article that was written on NPR, and it was really discussing the book, and it was bringing out some key points. And I thought it would be nice if we look at that D. It's called Eating to Break 100 Longevity Diet Tips from the Blue Zones.
Right. So just a little bit of background. The Blue Zone is a concept used to identify a demographic and geographic area of the world where people live measurably longer lives. And it grew out initially from some work that was done by some scientists in 2004 who published this in the Journal of Experimental Gerontology. And then Dan Buettner came on with his best-selling book. Mm-hmm. And they identified five areas mm-hmm. in the world that they noticed this trend of longevity.
Yes.
Sardinia, now this is on my bucket list because I love going to
yes.
Italy. And this is a place that's frequented by particularly Denzel Washington
uh-huh.
and his family. On this beautiful island, the ratio of centenarian men to women is 1-to-1. That's unusual because in the rest of the world, it's 5 women to every man.
Okay, wow.
And he writes that Sardinians explain their exceptional longevity with their assets such as clean air. They produce their own wine. And because they, here it is, mm-hmm. make love every Sunday.
Okay, see, there you go.
Saw
there
it.
You go.
You saw it. Well, when Buettner brought along a researcher to dig deeper, they found that pastoralism, or shepherding livestock from the mountains to the plains, was highly correlated with reaching 100. Because, you know, historically, you kind of see their shepherds. They cut their stories about, you know, the wives are in there cooking lunch, which is their biggest meal. Mm-hmm. And the men come in and the wife says, you know, he will eat his meal, but he has to get back out in the field.
Yes.
And these are people in their 100s. So
isn't that something?
Their foods are... And this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Sourdough bread. So you might think that bread, you know, has a high glycemic index, but correct me if I'm wrong, but sourdough bread is a little different.
It's different.
It's metabolized a little different. Flat bread and barley, and also fennel. Mm-hmm. Do you eat fennel?
Uh-huh.
I got to find the fresh fennel, because they talk about fresh fennels. They have it in the grocery store.
Yeah, big
time. Because I have the seeds, but I want to get some fresh
one,
fennel.
And you just cut it up and sprinkle it with your lentils. They go really good with lentils.
I got to start eating that. Fava beans, the chickpeas or garbanzo beans, tomatoes,
almonds,
milk thistle tea, and wine from the Grenache grapes. And I was trying to think if there was anything else that I found that they like to eat, only because I'm just particularly interested. And it always sort of seemed to me that their lifestyle is just, you know, you don't really hear about Sardinians arguing and screaming. I mean, they're really decreased stress, just a chill
atmosphere. But all of these regions that we think about, you know, they're chill. Okay, now our next show, we've talked about depression and mental health with Dr. Stephen King.
Great show. Great show with our friend, Dr. Stephen.
I'm not depressed. Are you depressed?
I try not to be depressed, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I like Dr. King because he approached that topic from the standpoint of what's happening today, you know, with us having stress. And I think you started out the show having him to define what is depression.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about that. He talked about disparities with respect to African Americans and the stigma. I think you asked him questions about, you know, well, tell us what the difference is with African Americans and, you know, how can we get around the stigma and treatment. I specifically talked to him a lot about it. It just seemed to me that I think we were having this conversation yesterday, Andrea, about so many people, young people on antidepressants.
Yes.
Yesterday, and Dr. King was addressing the issue of, well, there is, I mean, he agrees that depression should be treated with medication and counseling, that we should not overlook the fact that some people need to be medicated, because one of the big things he said on the show was suicide is real.
Yes, it is.
And I remember him saying that he wasn't trying to be flip or glib or anything. He just said suicide is a long-term solution for a short-term problem.
Crisis, am I saying it right?
He was just talking about how, because I asked him, you know, well, is it a generational thing with coping? And it may be, but he just said today, everybody's stressed out.
That's it. Didn't he say that? We're stressed out. We got all this computer stuff going at us every now and then. Well, not every now and then, all the time
now. All the time. And so much input from everything, your iPod, your iPad, social media, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, all these news.
President
people.
Trump.
President 45. I mean, we have all Congress. We have all of these. And I mean, we have to lump, you know, and we have our 45 moments and so forth. But it seems like all the politicians are digging in. One day they're saying this, and one day they're saying that. You're trying to figure out, well, whose side are they on?
I know.
And so you got that. Then the stress of you can't go to London for fear of being blown up.
I know.
And even in our own country.
And in our own community.
Look what happened yesterday. We didn't mention that. And it wasn't terrorism, but people are stressed out. A man who lost his job
came in and shot
five people and killed himself.
In Florida. Wasn't in Florida?
Orlando.
Okay. Wow.
So Dr. King pointed out, and he would know, because that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
We're stressed out.
We're stressed out.
And also a lot of people I know my age are just extremely stressed.
Really?
And
why?
I think it comes with finances.
Oh.
The idea that our generation is going to be the first to die deep in debt.
Oh.
Taking out loans. The idea that you can't really be on your own and independent because you, after college, you can't find a job and you probably have to live with your parents for quite some time.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who claim that they're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people won't point to finances, but I think that's part of it.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of true, though. The young folks nowadays, I mean, they got to worry about.
That's true.
Because school fees are just outrageous.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's
yeah.
very true.
Yeah.
This show was good because he brought out some great points on how we as African Americans as well need to really just realize, yes, that we do have mental health. But I remember when he was talking about the scientific, how you got to be careful about scientific evidence, because back then they were saying that we couldn't have mental health
because we didn't have the wherewithal. You're right.
That's exactly what he said. We didn't even have the brains.
We didn't have the brains and the wherewithal to even become depressed.
Isn't that something?
And he said that a lot of the mental health people, the psychiatrists and so forth, did us a big disservice. And schizophrenia was overdiagnosed in mm-hmm. African Americans. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think I made the point of when you don't have people sitting at the table trying to discuss the guidelines, and we didn't have a lot of people in the studies. We don't have a lot of
right.
African Americans in the studies and so forth. So, you know,
you can make up stuff on
exactly.
what, on something.
And that we didn't have, you know, I was taken aback because I heard that again when I re-listened to the show, that we didn't have the wherewithal to be depressed.
Yeah, so we didn't even have the brain capability. Right. Isn't that something?
It was just, so it's not funny, but it's just mind-boggling, the views that other people have.
But that makes sense because, you know, that's the overall view that we are stupid,
and
for real.
And then we can just take anything.
Right.
And then we just take anything.
And that was in the stats, too, back in the day that we, you know, we didn't have pain.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's scientific.
In fact, that just came out recently. Yes. That African Americans have, and that was a big, and you know what?
It
came out recently
pain.
That our threshold for pain was higher. Mm-hmm. And that's why physicians were not giving us pain medication, because they felt that we could withstand. This just came out this past year.
Yes, yes.
More pain. And in the hospitals, they were seeing that the young physicians were mm-hmm. not adequately dosing African Americans with enough pain medication mm-hmm. because they felt that they could take it more,
yeah.
take it better.
So that all boils down to this is science.
Just amazing.
Yes. This is science pushing stereotypical BS.
Exactly. And impact and treatment.
Impact and treatment.
Those are definitely alternative facts.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to listen a little bit to his show.
Definitely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To hear more of this podcast show and more of our celebration highlights, go to www.vickidofitness.com and listen to our show, 80th Show Celebration Highlights, Part 2.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@vickidofitness.com.